What if you could buy and sell real estate instantly, just like stocks or crypto? Now you can. In December, Lofty introduced the world's first liquidity pools for real estate, taking another step closer to their ultimate goal to build the NASDAQ of real estate. For the first time in history, anyone can directly buy and sell ownership in a house, not a fund or a REIT, with the same experience as buying or selling a share of Apple or Tesla stock. In today's knowledge-packed episode, we're joined by Jerry Chu, CEO of Lofty, to discuss how tokenization of real estate is not a distant future, but a current reality. We'll also discuss how you can lend your USDC against real estate properties and earn additional return, and we'll explain how Lofty's platform enables anyone to invest just $50 in a home with strangers online through a DAO LLC. GMGM, welcome to Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. I'm Jay Bird, and I believe that tokenized real estate is going to change the world. That's why I'm carving a path for doers to confidently build and invest in Web3. GM, Jerry, welcome back to Web3 Academy. Great to see you again.
Likewise. Thanks for having me again.
It's been just over a year since we had you, and I'm so excited to have you on now because just recently in December, just over a month ago, you guys introduced the world's first liquidity pool for real estate. This is absolutely huge. I think everybody needs to be talking about this. I'm going to pump up your tires for a second here because I can't understate how big of a deal this is. When we had you on the show just over a year ago back in December, I remember you said the line that your objective was to build the NASDAQ of real estate.
That's right.
Yeah. You have just taken a massive step towards that. So congrats to you and the whole team right off the bat. Let's talk about what has happened, what this launch has been like, and why this is such a big deal for the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think first it's important to know that it's not so much the technical aspects, while although impressive and I'm very proud of our team's work and the fact that it's even a world's first that makes this really unique and interesting. I think the really important benefit of this really is the end result, the value it provides our users and any potential users of the platform in the future. And so if you think about real estate transactions, right? Because again, these are not virtual land. They're not some, you know, meme coin or some virtual tokens. They are actual physical ownership in individual specific houses or properties, right? And so if you think about the property market, for hundreds of years, it's basically transacted in the exact same way with little to no innovation on top of that, right? And so, you know, you could probably pinpoint hundreds of years ago, there would be lawyers drafting up documents, you know, in the wild west of the US when people were claiming land. They're like, oh, I'm selling you my barn, or like, I'm selling you these acres of farmland, or whatever is the case. And that pretty much is kind of how it's still done today, if you think about it, right? You pour a house, you, whether it's for you to personally live in or for you to invest in, you would typically view the property, you have agents, and then afterwards you negotiate on price. And then if there's a agreement on price, it's all paperwork. It's all just paperwork, legal contract. And eventually the deed is recorded by, you know, your local county and held by the government. And then that's it. You're now recognized as the new owner of this property. And that's the process. And for the vast majority of people that we've spoken to in the past, even ones that are very experienced and have done many transactions, everyone hates this process. I don't know what else to say. Like, nobody enjoys it, and especially as technology has evolved and gotten better, right? Because believe it or not, the stock market actually started out the same way. You know, Wall Street was a group of people literally under a tree, like selling stock certificates to each other in person. Like, hey, who wants to buy these ones? Like, what's a price? Right? It started out that way. But today, how that market functions is drastically different than how it started, whereas real estate is largely the same. And so for the longest time, not just us, but a lot of people have sort of envisioned, like, what if you could take that process that real estate transacts in and sort of level it up and basically add technology to it so that you have a similar user experience as essentially buying a share of stock or, you know, share of Apple on your Robinhood app, right? Like, wouldn't that be pretty phenomenal? And not just the experience would be at least 10 times better, because it's so much more efficient, you could lower the cost by a huge amount, right? Because of all these added sort of frictions and the time and these legal paperwork, and people have to draft it up and make sure that, you know, you didn't sign the wrong things, and legally it all works out. There's a lot of cost, you know, and that's why title and closing tends to be pretty expensive, right? For mortgages, properties, whatever is the case. And so the benefit of what we build here is essentially, for the first time in the world, and you can't do this outside of Lofty anywhere else, you are able to buy into, buy ownership, and sell that ownership in a specific house, specific property with its own address, with you being the owner, not a fund that someone else is running, not a REIT, anything like that, into the specific property with the same speed and user experience as buying a share of Apple on your Robinhood, right? So think about that for 1 second. Literally, you can now pull up your phone or your laptop, and if you want to buy a house, you can just click a buy button. It will quote you a price. You say, yes, I have the money. I agree to this price. I want to buy at this price. You click confirm, and boom, you now are an owner. And as crazy as it seems, if in 5 seconds you decide, hey, I don't want to be an owner anymore, you can now repeat that exact same process, but just click the sell button this time, and then boom, you're not the owner anymore, and someone else bought it off of you. And this could literally happen, depending on how quick you click things, within the span of seconds. Now, I don't encourage people to day trade real estate because it's fundamentally a different asset, but technologically speaking, and the actual practical experience is now you can, for the first time in the world. And so really that is kind of what gets us really excited. I think we've realized our vision of making the asset class truly liquid for the first time in history. And so yeah, we're really excited to continue to grow and build this.
What stands out to me is how you and your team have approached this as a problem that needs to be solved. You mentioned it before, you know, real estate hasn't changed for 100 years, right? It's still the same as it used to be. It's full of middlemen. It's full of wasted cost. I mean, I bought a house a few years ago and I went through this exact process. It was not a nightmare. It's a bit extreme to say it was a nightmare, but it was full of headaches because of all of the different things. And then in the end of it all, I now have a house, which I'm very happy to have this house, but I don't know the current value of that house. I can't go and get any liquidity from that house unless I sell the entire house until Lofty came along. And obviously there's various options there. And I think you've taken a lagging asset class in real estate, which is really, you know, every investor that we know, your parents, I'm sure anybody listening to this has in their head, I should get into real estate. If I'm not in real estate already, I should be there. There's a great opportunity there.
Right.
And you've taken it and you've opened it up to the world, which didn't exist before. Before we talk about how this all works and what the opportunities are for how our listeners could get involved, can you explain a little bit about why you decided to take this course and take this path?
Sure. And again, I think fundamentally when you're building a business, any successful business is good at solving a problem for a subset of users. And that's how you build businesses. And so for us, you know, the problem we were trying to solve was for a lot of times our existing users that are already using the platform. And one of the things we consistently were hearing is that you improved liquidity, but it's still bad, right? Mm-hmm. Because the comparison to all these other asset classes, like now we have users who have an interest in owning real estate, investing in real estate, and sometimes, you know, often case half the funds, and sometimes even own properties outside of the platform. So they understand how bad liquidity is in the actual, you know, open real estate market. But when they're using an app, they're just so used to the idea, like, oh, if I'm using Coinbase or Robinhood, like, you know, everything is quick and fast, right? And so for them, they're like, hey, you know, maybe instead of 9 months it takes for me to sell the house, it now takes me 3 months to sell, you know, on your secondary market. But that's still 3 months. Like, I want it to be 5 seconds. I want it to be 6 seconds. Like, you know, why do I have to wait 3 months? It's still wasn't a good user experience. And most of our users are investing for the long term, because that's really where real estate makes the most sense, is the compounding. Because in terms of raw returns, in many cases, it's lower than, you know, the stock market and various other assets you could get into. But the tax benefits you get from investing in real estate and the tax benefits you get for collecting rental income, right? That compounds year over year, and typically over, you know, a 10, 20 year time horizon, net net, in many cases, your real estate assets will outperform other asset classes in this sort of time horizon. So most of our users aren't actually that interested in selling quickly, right? But it's this psychology, and I guess just the way technology has evolved, people just want it, they expect it. If you tell someone and say, hey, invest in this fund or invest in this asset class, and you just, even if you want to, even if it's a life emergency and, like, you know, whatever happens, some crazy thing happens, you just physically, you're not even legally allowed to sell. Like, you're just in this thing for 7 years, right? And even if someone goes into this with a mindset of like, hey, I'm investing for the long term, I don't need this money right away, I'm putting it away for 7 years, that still rubs them the wrong way. They just don't like the idea that they, like, you, they're restricted legally, physically, technically, whatever is the case. It's like, I can't do it if I were to, you know, want to do it. So that's kind of what we realized with all of our users, is like, the liquidity still wasn't quick enough, wasn't good enough for them. And just the idea that, hey, I'm going to get into something, knowing that it's kind of an open-ended answer at the end of, like, if I want to sell out, what does that really look like? You know, the time frame could be any amount of time. There's really no guarantees or certainties. Again, that really makes people uncomfortable with investment. I suspect if you all kind of ask yourselves that question, why? Because a lot of people, if you talk to them, are interested in real estate investing. They understand it's a thing they grow up with from their family. You know, parents are like, oh, if you want to do well in life, you got to own some real estate. So everyone knows this, right? And it's an easy asset to understand. Like, it's a house. You don't need to be like some super financial engineering whiz to understand, like, hey, you know, buy a house, invest in a house, right? So why, if everyone knows about this, has some interest, you know, beyond the money issue, why a lot of people haven't really pulled the trigger? And I suspect is probably because of that liquidity answer of like, hey, if I were to buy this house, like, it's kind of tough for me to get money out of it. Like, it's, you know, if I were to invest in this, like, what if I needed the money like 6 months later? Like, I don't plan on it, but what if something comes up? And I do, right? I suspect that has a big component to play in psychology. So when we realized that, we kind of knew, like, hey, number one, is always our vision, just for the cool factor, is like, what if you can make real estate like truly liquid? But the real second thing was talking to the actual people and users, you realize this is truly something that people want, like, regardless of whether they take advantage of it, right? Like, lots of people buy index funds and don't sell for like decades at this point, right? But just the idea that like they could is really important for them. And so that's sort of our aha moment. And when we realized that, we kind of realized this is something that's going to be really difficult technically to build, that would work financially for everyone, and, you know, it would deliver the results we wanted to deliver for our users. It would be really challenging, but given the massive payout, like how big of a game changer this would be, it was worth the investment, knowing that it's something that our users really wanted. So that's kind of how we bet pretty much everything on this.
And when you say you bet everything, you mean you, from a resource allocation perspective, from a like business priorities and business objectives perspective, you bet the house. It sounds like you put everything into building this, which I'm sure took, engineering wise and technically, quite a bit of time and effort. And you didn't know, because you're the first, there's no one else doing this. So is it going to work? Let's talk a little bit about how's it gone so far. It's been just over a month, I think about 40, 45 days that this has been live in market. What have the results been like?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically met or exceeded our wildest expectations in pretty much every way imaginable. So for the record, every property will have its own liquidity pool, right? Mm. And so there's over, I think, 140 properties on the platform at this point. Technically, we've tokenized even more, but some have been sold. Like, it's a market, like the owners have voted to sell the properties and you know, take profit or cut their losses, whatever the situation may be. And so live on the market, we have probably around 140. So eventually every property, there'll be 140 pools. I think at this point, we've only launched or rolled out, you know, maybe 20 of them, roughly, give or take. And we've already had over $500,000 locked in, you know, total value locked in there. We facilitated, I think all combined, maybe $500,000 worth of liquid orders of money exchanging hands amongst all the properties that have the pool so far. And again, this is a small fraction of our marketplace right now. So our biggest goal right now and focus is to keep innovating and building the technology, because no matter what you do, no matter how much you understand your users, when you actually launch something and people start using it, there's always little things you get wrong. People are like, oh, well, this is a little confusing, or like, you know, the UI here like doesn't really make sense to me. So there's always improvements to be made. So our biggest goal is to do that, but at the same time, just launch all the remaining pools as quickly as possible. And once we do, you know, it's, again, I think it's a game changer for anyone interested in investing and buying real estate. But financially speaking also, and this will come as a shock to a lot of people who are familiar with crypto companies and Web3 companies, is that even before I roll out all the pools, maybe if we're just 50% saturated, we would independently be profitable. Like, this is like funding wise, like this, the company would be able to stand on its own two feet very, very easily. So that is financially really exciting for us. But the goal long term really is to expand the technology so that it's not just for investors. My hope is one day when you're buying your actual home to live in with your family or selling it, this is the technology that's underneath it and how you end up doing the transaction. But instead of having co-owners and sharing the ownership, you would just own 100% of it. You would just transact 100% of it. That is the end goal.
I want to talk a little bit about how you guys have set up this automated market maker, or as you're calling it, a proactive market maker and liquidity pools. I want to talk a little bit about the setup and how our listeners could get involved and lend or stake their assets, and what that sort of looks like and how that works, so we can explain that. But I do love, we'll come around to the overall vision of putting all homes on chain. Because I love that overall vision. So much that comes from that, from a transparency, from a movement of information, from access of the whole world really to this incredible asset class. Before jumping into explaining the how of the PMM and the liquidity pools, let's just take a step back here. How big is the real estate asset market as a whole? And then maybe can you give us an idea of if there's like sort of segments within that you are targeting, so we can sort of scope? I mean, you said 500,000 right now is really small compared to the entire real estate market.
Yeah, absolutely. The $500,000 value is really meant to illustrate the boost in trading and the liquidity unlock. So I think I should have provided a reference point, which was prior to this, with our existing secondary market, you could still buy and sell tokens peer-to-peer with other people. The issue was people wouldn't agree on the price. So someone might say, like, I want to sell it for $50. And someone comes and says, I'll buy it for $40. And then those two orders just never go through because people are anonymous. There's no way to discuss it and be like, hey, you know, let's get to a better price. But in reality, if there was a market price at the center, right? Whereas like, hey, would you guys be willing to buy and sell at $45? You know, both parties would be like, yeah, I'll go up $5. The other one's like, I'll come down $5, right? And that's an efficient market. And so prior to the launch of the market makers, we were doing maybe $250,000 in monthly volume from these.
From
the secondary market. So we're basically essentially doing double that on a monthly basis with just 20 pools launched. Wow. From the market orders. That's really sort of the illustration. It's like, like, you know, you see that improvement and change. So there's that first. But overall, I mean, what I pitch investors is, you know, they typically always tell you like, hey, talk about the market size. How big could this really get? And for real estate, I almost don't really even talk about it. It seems a little unnecessary because it's universally known that it's just so large. It is by far the largest asset class, the largest value sort of maintenance and creation engine, not just here in the country in the U.S., but around the world. Like if you analyze the world economy, a disproportional size of that is actually just real estate. So to give you some idea, the U.S. housing market in just single family homes that people are like buying to live in, you know, annually is something like $40 trillion now, just in this country. Yeah, wow. Trillion, not billion, trillion. Like 1 trillion is 1,000 billion. So this is 40 trillion. So that just gives you some idea, right? Then if you go into the submarket, and that doesn't include commercial properties, right? We're just talking about
single just family residential.
Houses. Yeah, you're just single family houses. So if you add in commercial, that's a whole nother beast. But within single family, not everyone owns or buys houses just to live in. A lot of people use it as, you know, a lot of older folks use it as like a retirement vehicle, like to get passive income and as an investment vehicle. And so if you look at single family houses that are used as investments, now this is an estimate, but the idea is roughly about like $1.5 trillion worth of transactional volume annually. So this is like repeating. So every year there's about $1.5 trillion being exchanged hands here, right? Not the total value of all the rental real estates that exist, just the amount that are actually transacting. So that's how large that market is. So really, a lot of times it's like, you know, most people start a business and they say, well, the market size is in the hundreds of millions or the low billions. In this case, it's almost like it's too big. It's almost not worth talking about. It's more like, can you actually capture even a tiny percent of this market, realistically speaking, right? Our goal is that buying and selling real estate on Lofty, and also even the interim period when you're just managing it and you're holding it, right? This entire process will be so much better and more enjoyable on Lofty that eventually at some point, it just doesn't make sense to not do it on Lofty anymore. And the goal is really to like take that entire $1.5 trillion market, just like you have no reason not to do it on our market. And that's the end goal. And that's hopefully how big this gets.
I love it. I love that line. It's giving me like Elon Musk vibes. Not to pump your tires too much and put you next to Elon Musk. I know that would bug me if anybody did that to me. But his view, it will become a time where it doesn't make sense not to drive an electric vehicle. So he went all in and he's built that. And you're saying the same thing. There will be a time when it doesn't make sense. And look, I don't think you have to convince me or any of our listeners of this. We're on-chain believers, on-chain maxis. So I think, yeah, I completely agree. So, okay, let's go to a bit about how this works. So you've created this PMM, Proactive Market Maker. Incredible. First time in history. Gives people this opportunity to buy and sell a house the same way they would buy Apple stock or Tesla stock, to use the Elon Musk example. You know, and we talked about previously all the challenges that are involved in that completely illiquid market and how long it takes to achieve a sale. So how have you created this? How are you making these liquidity pools? Who is contributing to these liquidity pools? Mm-hmm. And what does that look like? And I think what I'd love you to not just explain it, but also maybe not financial advice to our listeners, but also explain it with sort of the angle of if our listeners are interested in participating in this, what does that look like for them?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So right off the bat, like we didn't technically invent the Proactive Market Maker conceptually. This is a wonderful thing about software, blockchain, no exception. There's a lot of open source stuff out there and people really build on top of each other's knowledge and it just makes it easier and faster for people to build new things, right? And there's actually they're a decentralized exchange, I think, actually out of Asia. They're called Dodo. So they're the ones who actually came up, to our best knowledge, with the concept of the Proactive Market Maker, right? And conceptually, the idea was that market makers have existed. So they're typically referred to as AMMs, so automated market makers. But they typically all use the same fundamental mathematical algorithm known as the constant product algorithm. So they're pretty much, it doesn't matter which DEX you're using, doesn't matter, you know, what chain you're on. They all work mathematically the same way, right? And so if you look at a lot of these DEXs and how things have traded in liquidity pools and before, you'll notice that there are some like major flaws. There's usually extreme high volatility, and that is a byproduct of just how the math works. There are severe limitations on how staking works because traditionally speaking with these pools, you have to kind of stake both sides, right? So even when they say you can stake single-sided, what they're actually doing is they're taking your funds and they're selling half and buying half of the other pool. So from a user experience, it feels like you're one-sided staking, but practically speaking, you are staking both sides, right? And there's also a issue of like sort of capital flight risk where everyone's always a little anxious because who wants to be the last person in the pool? You're left holding all the bag, you know, and really, which is the way cryptocurrencies work, if they don't have fundamental like real assets backing it, they can theoretically go to zero. So that's just always in people's mind. And so it creates a lot of these sometimes panic moments, you know, capital flights, and that messes with the algorithms more and makes prices even more volatile. So it's why there's all these early adopters, but like no mainstream adoption, because let's face it, that's a bad user experience. Like you don't want your grandma dealing with that. Like you don't want your high school teacher to deal with that. Like it's not something that the everyday people would enjoy using, and they truly can, you know, really get financially wrecked by that. And so Dodo's whole idea was, what if you copied, if you built an algorithm that copied more of what a traditional market maker in the stock market would do, right? So market making isn't unique to crypto. The only reason you're actually able to buy and sell Apple shares so quickly and so liquid, right? Like feels like it's immediate, is because there are these market makers that's all day long doing nothing but constantly buying and selling shares of Apple, right? Like, and so you're not really trading with another person in front of their computer as an individual. You're usually trading with the market maker. And so over many decades, like these market makers have developed very efficient ways to do market making and provide liquidity where it's needed the most. And the traditional constant product algorithms don't actually mimic that. So they provide liquidity, but they're very inefficient at how they allocate that liquidity, right? And so Dodo's idea was basically like, what if, you know, you could come up with a mathematical new algorithm that more closely mimics what these traditional market makers did, and therefore is more efficient, lower volatility, provides the bulk of the liquidity where, you know, the price actually makes sense, and so pushes more people to transact at that sort of fair market value. So that was really their idea. But they still built it. Number one, it's on a different chain. Lofty's built on Algorand. So they built this, I believe, on Ethereum. And so different chain, and they're using it again against mostly cryptocurrencies, right? So when we found this, we're like, this is exactly what we were looking for, because we know we're building this and taking the concept of AMMs into real world assets. And it doesn't make sense, and it's not going to be a good experience for people if you're on like, you know, a minute or hour, you know, a basis, right? Like that's going to cause a lot of headaches for people. And so we were looking for something outside of the traditional algorithm. And when we found this, we're like, hey, this is sort of perfect conceptually for what we're doing. But because it was on a different chain and because it was still built to be used for cryptocurrencies, we had to make a lot of our own adaptations so that it actually works with, you know, real estate assets, it works with tokens that need the owners to be KYC'd and things like that. So that's where a lot of the work happened. But at a very high level, you know, what this pool and the AMM does is that there's now a market maker instead of a company, it's now an algorithm. It is buying and selling tokens of a specific property. And that supply and demand of trading with this market maker generates a liquid spot market price. So before, you had to set your own price, right? Like in my example, you know, what do I sell at? What do I buy at? Now you just come and it will just quote you a price. Like you would see like, oh, this is what a share of Apple is worth today. Like, and then all you have to decide is, am I okay with that price? Am I willing to buy and sell at that price? And if the answer is yes, you just click a button and it will just go through at that price, right? And, you know, the unique thing here is where mechanically speaking is this market maker getting the assets needed to make these trades? Well, that's where the liquidity pool comes in, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the best way to think about deposits of two different types of assets. So one side is the property token, so the ownership in the property, the equity ownership. And then the other side is USDC, so money or like dollars, if you will, right? And the AMM is basically borrowing these to make these market trades with other people. So it's using the tokens and selling them to other people that want to buy it. And it's using the USDC to buy tokens when other people want them. It goes through instantly. And so it's a phenomenal experience. And there's nothing in real estate that matches that. And so guess what? You have to pay a premium for it. And lots of people are perfectly fine paying that. For everyone using a market order, they have to pay an additional 2.5% fee per transaction on both sides, buyer and sellers. But instead of that money coming to us as a company at Lofty, that money is the revenue earned by the algorithm. And being that it's not a person or a company, it doesn't need money. So what it does is it passes 100% of those trading fees and revenue back to the people who staked assets into this liquidity pool. And that is where the yield is generated from and earned. So you can stake now ownership in real estate. You can also, these are truly one-sided staking because that's what this new algorithm allows. So you can stake just the property tokens. You can stake just USDC. And for the very first time, if you just want to stake USDC, you don't even need a Lofty account. You don't even need a KYC account. You can just get a third-party wallet connected to the portal and stake USDC if that's what you want to do. Or, you know, you can stake both sides if that's what you want to do. And essentially now it allows folks who enjoy staking to stake against a real-world asset and a real-world business activity. So these yields aren't being paid out of thin air from like a token that repeatedly mints new tokens. And that's really more dilution and not actual revenue. Whereas this is real money, like revenue being generated from a business activity. And so you can imagine the more trading that happens and the lower liquidity, the higher the yield being advertised, right, by the pool. And that incentivizes people to deposit more money into the pool. And then when there's too much liquidity, too much money and not enough trading, the yield is going to be really low. And that incentivizes people to say like, I can get better rates elsewhere, and they pull money out. So it's this really sort of clever, unique way to achieve equilibrium where it diverts capital where it's most needed, diverts liquidity where it's most needed. And it's really bridging two markets together, like combining the real estate market with the liquidity and yield chasing of the Web3 market and connecting them for the first time. And unlike a lot of the traditional crypto liquidity pools, these are backed by real assets. And so you will never really, realistically speaking, get to a point where it goes to zero. Like the properties can decrease in value, but there's insurance policies on them. So if they're destroyed by some like hurricane, like you usually get an insurance payout. And then on top of that, you know, worst case scenario, there's typically a land underneath the property that is zoned for single family housing, right? And zoning is like a big problem. So it's like properly zoned and everything. And so people will find value in that. So again, it can go down in value, but it never really, real estate, that's one of the benefits, it never really goes to zero. And for the first time, that sort of security and safety you can actually benefit from by staking and doing like a Web3 activity. So that's really kind of how you can interact with the new features. You can be a pure real estate person who cares, who doesn't even understand what the hell is staking and liquidity is. But now you just know that like, hey, wow, like I can buy and sell real estate like instantly. And that's a really good experience for me. And I'm happy to pay for that experience. Or you could be on the other side and be like, I just want to stake. I want nothing to do with real estate or properties. You can just stake USDC into the pools if you want. Or you could be like some of our users, interested in real estate, but also Web3 savvy, and they do a mixture of both. They both invest in real estate using the market makers, but at the same time, they also stake in certain pools to really like boost their returns on idle cash that they have. So that's really kind of how all of that works at a high level and how people can interact and take advantage of it.
It's amazing the opportunities that are presented by blockchain for the average Joe to get involved in things like market making, right? This didn't exist before Lofty. I mean, you could go DeFi and get involved in liquidity pools and put your assets up and then take yield as a result of that. But as you said, there's a lot of risk associated with that because you're investing in cryptocurrency tokens, which, what is the business behind that? And how safe is that asset, right?
Exactly.
Whereas here, you're providing liquidity for real estate, which is much more stable. I mean, I don't even think we need to get into that discussion. One question. So I'm on amm.lofty.ai, which is the new liquidity pool marketplace.
That's right.
We'll put that link in the show notes so everyone can go check it out so you guys can see what this is like. So if I'm looking at this right now, I've got it up on my screen. And as you said, each property has its own pool. So I'm looking at the top property, which is 1339 East 115th Street. So that's clearly a house that's, I can't tell exactly where that house is, but some
find it on Google Maps, like it's a real thing that you can look up. Yeah.
Right. And I can see the total value locked for this house is $14,000.
And then it shows me average 7-day APY. And this is where my question is. It says it breaks it down by APY for property tokens or for USDC, because as you said, you can either lend or stake property tokens or USDC. But the 7-day APY listed here is 104% for property tokens and almost 700% for USDC, which is an incredible APY.
A massive number. Yeah.
Why is that number so massive? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So number one, right off the bat, I will be very honest and transparent. Don't expect that APY to last for the entire year. So you're very unlikely to actually realize that annualized yield of, you know, 700%. But what that really is saying is that, you know, when a pool is first launched, there's typically not a lot of liquidity in it yet. Like, you know, it needs to take time and then for people to track the liquidity, for people to deposit it. And so for the very first people that like put money in, when trades happen, especially if there's a lot of trades, like some people have been waiting 2 years to sell out of a property, right? So there's sometimes like this pent up demand or supply or whatever is the case. So you combine low liquidity with high trading volume, and it's just mathematical. Like the denominator is low and the numerator is really high. So you end up with a really high sort of fee generated as a percentage sort of ROI on your capital. And then that is that 1 day's worth of yield, and then that's annualized. So you, basically the last 7 days of that yield is averaged out. So it's a weekly yield and then annualized for you. And so the idea is if liquidity stays this way, and if trading volume stays this way for the entire year, then you will actually realize that annual yield.
Right.
But realistically, because the yield is so high, it incentivizes people to put more money in because they're like, I want a cut of that action, right? And what ends up happening is by having a larger denominator at the bottom, your yield just naturally, even if trading fees stay consistent, ends up, you know, having lower yield annualized. So that's right off the bat. But with that said, if you time it right, and you know, this is riskier, so I will disclose that, but for folks that have the time and have the sort of the guts to do this, if you are in very early, you can often take advantage of this really high yield very effectively, because you're not going to get 700%. But even when you convert that to a daily yield, a lot of people make like 1-2% within like the first 3-4 days, right? Mm-hmm. Like literally just raw returns on your money. Like, and if you do this enough times, like you are actually getting oftentimes high double digit yield for the whole year on your money, which you realistically, in, there's no instrument that gives you that kind of returns. So there's a way to take opportunity of that. Then the second thing is liquidity in these pools are very interesting, because unlike other traditional pools, you actually don't need too much liquidity, right? So if you think about it, for a given property, we've seen the data shows that roughly about like 20% of it might be floating, meaning at any given point in time, like maximum, like around 20% of the supply is constantly changing hand, right? The remaining owners, the remaining 80%, are really in there for the long haul, like people just holding for at least a couple of years, right? And so then if you look at the price of these properties, some of them are like $100,000 or $200,000. So 20%, you know, is $20,000, $40,000. That's not that much. And that's pretty much all the liquidity, like maximum you would need in the pool, right? Even lower liquidity than that, it would still function pretty well most of the time, right? And so the way liquidity works in general is just different, because you just don't need that much. So your denominator can actually stay relatively low, and that's perfectly fine, nominally speaking. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, if you look at a Bitcoin pool or Ethereum pool, and there's only like 60K worth of liquidity in it, you're like, oh, that pool is terrible, I don't want to touch it. But in this case, that could be like a really good liquidity pool for mm-hmm. real estate, right? Because it's for that property specifically. So that's one. Then the other one is consistently, like if you scroll down to the bottom of the pages, you'll see the pools that have stabilized more, that were launched earlier, like, you know, December of last year, they're still doing pretty good. Like the yields there are pretty good, right? Like compared mm-hmm. to alternative assets you could put money into. And the reason for that is because typically in Web3, in DeFi DEXs, people really hate fees or just trading fees in general. So it's more standard to maybe get 10 basis points, 25 basis points per trade maximum off of a trade in those markets. Anything higher, people would just leave your DEX and go to a different one, right? But here's the funny thing, like real estate people are very used to paying high fees. they don't like it. But if you're telling them, hey, instead of a 6% agent fee, you pay 2.5% to like trade instantly, like sell out instantly or buy instantly, they'd be like, hell yeah, like that's a great deal, right? Like I love it. But if you think about it, 2.5%, that's 250 basis points. You're talking about on average, like 10 times more per trade in terms of mm-hmm. revenue generated compared to DEX. And so that is why consistently you probably will actually see higher yields for the pools on Lofty than you would see elsewhere.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so we've talked lots about this liquidity pool and the opportunities to invest in this either as a provider to the liquidity pool in order to grab yield or as a buyer or seller on either side. And what's interesting is I hadn't even thought about this is, as you said, there is a moment in time when any of these liquidity pools are launched, because let's say that the owners of a property purchased it on Lofty, I don't know, a few years ago, and they've decided that they want out. But right now, the only way for them to get out is if they either have to sell it on the secondary market, which, as you said, is mm-hmm. very inefficient and difficult to do, or they have to convince everybody in their DAO, in their
not everyone,
sell the whole property,
60%, you know, of the voting power. So right. super majority. But yes, they would have to convince other members of the DAO to just sell the house on the open market.
Right. Which is not probably not likely and difficult to do, especially as you said, most of these investors are more long-term investors. So what is happening is there's this moment in time where all of a sudden there's this opening of a liquidity pool. Oh, wow, I can sell out of this property. And there's a great opportunity at that moment for the liquidity pool providers to capture higher yield because of, as you said, of the calculation. So it's a very interesting, unique opportunity. As you mentioned, not financial advice, and also would take consistent effort to track all of this. This is not passive investing where you could, because each liquidity pool is for its own house, you'd have to watch this.
Yeah.
So probably not for everybody, but a great opportunity. I think before we wrap up on liquidity pools, and I want to move over to more the initial phase, which we haven't talked about today. We talked about it last year, but I want to revisit that of the first time a house is basically fractionalized and purchased mm-hmm. on Lofty, because that is just also so powerful what you guys have built there. But before we get there, I think for our listeners, if you are the type of person that wants to take some capital that you have sitting around and capture some yield on that, there is opportunities to get involved in liquidity pools. And I think for a lot of our listeners, you might not be involved in liquidity pools right now because you weren't so confident in DeFi and in your ability to understand how to get involved in those and which tokens to provide liquidity for, because you're unsure of the stability of those tokens, which is totally fair. But now with Lofty, you have this unique opportunity to provide liquidity for real estate. And that's pretty cool. I think incredible what you guys have done here that really democratizes the opportunity for the average person to get involved in a way that was not possible.
Absolutely. But again, it is a lot of work. You need to read things, understand how they work, research. I was actually talking to a user earlier this morning. He said, you know, it's funny, he kind of brought up the same thing. It's like, you know, I kind of love you and hate you at the same time, Jerry. Like you created a new way for me to make money. So I love you for that. But now I also have to do so much extra work to like do this. It was like, that's
right. Which like, that's why you didn't start a fund where it's passive investing. You know, you built a marketplace that is going to allow lots of people to get involved in many ways, but DYOR, do your own research, do your own effort. It's on you, not on the Lofty team to tell you what to do and how to manage your liquidity pools. Let's go to the other side of the product here. And let's just talk a little bit about how outside of the liquidity pools, I guess you would call this like, what do you call this? Like primary buying, or the first time a house is basically tokenized and brought on chain. How does Lofty do that? What does that look like? Because I think that's an important thing for all of our users to understand around, it's not just real estate. It's the way that real world assets and this, you know, Larry Fink said this a few weeks ago. Jamie Dimon has talked about this. So many of the TradFi world is using the term tokenization of real world assets. It is the trend that we are going to see a lot in the coming years, decades, because there is so much potential and improvement of the management of assets when you bring them on chain. Let's talk about what Lofty does on that side.
Absolutely. So the way you think about Lofty and mechanically how it works is we're just a real estate marketplace. So if you think about how it works today is there's the MLS, right? And so the vast majority of homes, whether it's for rental properties or for homes for sale for people to live in, are listed on this sort of marketplace. And that's how buyers and sellers find each other. And that's how you find inventory. And that eventually leads to transactions, right? So think of us as sort of an alternative to the MLS. And in addition to just sourcing the property, you can transact and settle on it directly, right? And so that's essentially what's happening. You can essentially, people have heard of this before, I'm sure, but you can do these like for sale by owner listings, right? Like mm-hmm. where you don't involve an agent, you maybe don't even use the MLS. You just list your house for sale. And it's yours, you have the right to sell it. And so essentially you're kind of doing something similar here on Lofty, which is we're a marketplace. We never own any of the properties. We don't buy it ourselves. We don't manage it. We don't control it. But we offer this platform where anyone can come and list house for sale, a property for sale, right? It doesn't even have to be a house. It could be, quadplex, a duplex. It could be a small commercial. There's a commercial strip mall on Lofty right now with McDonald's, one of the tenants. Yeah, like that's one of the properties. They're kind of all over the place. There are Airbnbs, like short-term rentals. There's long-term rentals. Right? And so it's just a platform, but it can sort of list any type of real estate assets, realistically speaking. And the seller just says, I have an interest. I want to sell it on this market instead of alternatively on another market, right? And what we do for them is we basically, help them convert their ownership into a DAO LLC. So basically, they legally, there's this DAO, Decentralized Autonomous Organization. It's a legal entity, so it can legally own the deed to the property. And then we give them all the tokens. So they're 100% owner in the DAO initially. Then they just list the property, like we list the property on the platform for them, and then they just list their tokens for sale, right? And then they can sell anywhere from, 10% all the way up to 100% of the property. So it's extremely flexible. Like if you want to, you can sell like 21.9% of your house. Like that's easy. So we have sellers for a variety of reasons. Some people are looking to sort of like do a HELOC model, right? Unlocking liquidity from their equity ownership. There are ones that are doing like lease back. They're like older people and they basically are getting close to retiring and they have all this money trapped in the house. So they're basically selling the equity and then they just pay rent to keep staying there. But now, they have a huge amount of like capital that they freed up that they can enjoy and use for their retirement. So we have those. And then we have folks that are just using this to sort of grow a portfolio. Like they would invest in a property, get it ready, get a cash flowing on Airbnb. They would sell a portion on Lofty that would free up a certain amount of capital. Then they use that to buy another property and they just keep doing this. And they can maybe normally by themselves, they would be able to get, five properties in 5 years, but doing it through this way on Lofty, they can get five properties in 1 year, right? Mm-hmm. And then kind of grow their portfolio that way. So you have folks doing all of this. So that's all it is a marketplace and people can come and they see all these different properties like a buyer, and you just say, I like this one, so I will buy this one. I don't like that one, so I won't buy that one, right? And you just do your own research, do your own diligence, decide what makes sense to you, and you can buy ownership in these properties. And then you collectively manage, right? So you're essentially having co-owners, which actually a lot of people mentally think this is like a big leap and jump and that's so different from the real estate market, but it's actually not. Because real estate is so expensive, the vast majority of people typically own it with other people. Now, it's just a lot of times in the real world, you can't trust random strangers. So you own it with like family and friends and colleagues, right? Like people you know really well. Whereas on Lofty, because of the mechanisms and the code and how smart contracts are enforced, you don't need to know who these people are. Your incentives are aligned. You're all here to hopefully succeed on your investment and make more money. And you're, protected from each other. So you don't need to know who these people are. And then you just now collectively manage it with these other random people as opposed mm-hmm. to a spouse or a friend or, a family member. But the rough idea is exactly the same, where you have multiple owners of a house and they control the house. It's their house. They do whatever they want. Sometimes they do short-term rentals. Sometimes that doesn't work out. So they convert it to a long-term rental, right? Like mm-hmm. you can vote on anything under the sun as long as it's legal. And you can do all that within and on the platform. So that's really how Lofty works in a nutshell.
And really, you know, if you think about, as you said, it's very common to invest in real estate with a small group of friends and family. And right now, that also is a very cumbersome process of you're investing with friends and family. Most likely none of you are lawyers. So any of the decisions that you want to make are probably, there's no system set up around voting. Right. There's no way to vote. So using Lofty, it's almost like if I were to go buy a house with friends and family, I think I'd be like, hey, let's just do this on Lofty so that we get the benefits of the Dow LLC set up for us, we get the usage of tokens to represent our ownership, the usage of tokens to represent our votes. It's just a better management system for owning and investment property.
It's economically beneficial in many ways as well, because you benefit from economies of scale. So for example, in many cases, people who do this with friends and family still hire a property manager because everyone's got their own full-time job. So they, you know, not always one person's full-time job is to manage the property. So they hire a professional property manager. But if you did this on Lofty, because there's so many different units of properties, like you might only own one unit collectively together, but there's hundreds of other ones on the platform. So collectively, the property managers that service properties on Lofty grant bulk discounts because they're managing 100 units instead of one unit. So they're like, okay, instead of charging you 10%, I will charge 5% to manage all 100 units, right? So you as an individual or a collective benefits from that lower property manager rate. If you were to go to the same company and put a property with them, you would pay more on your own outside of Lofty. Same thing with the insurance policy. So every property has insurance. Again, we don't select it. We don't pay for it. Like the owners do it themselves. But again, the insurance provider and owners are like, oh, wow, I just sell to this one business and like one access. I don't do 500 different sales calls, but I basically get to do all of these policies potentially. Yeah, they give a big discount than if you were to go out and buy one policy yourself, right? So you actually benefit economically from these as well. So that's why I said earlier, like the goal is to build this in such a way where the buying, the actual holding and managing portion, and ultimately the selling portion is just so much better than the alternative of you doing this on your own, like outside without Lofty, that the answer ends up just becoming like, well, why don't I just, like, of course I would just do this on Lofty. It's just easier, right? And so that is ultimately the end goal. And so right now, like we actually have a promotion going on where if you refer someone who has a property that they want to sell to Lofty and we end up listing that property, right, you actually get a, you know, cash referral bonus. So that's something interesting that folks might want to take advantage of. We have people doing HELOCs, selling their primary residences. It's a very flexible platform. It's ultimately, at the end of the day, is for people that want to sell ownership in real estate. And there's a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. I don't envy your job right now, because even in what you just talked about there, my mind starts to go to an on-chain identity system for real estate investors where a insurance provider can be linked up with them and say, hey, I can recognize that you're a great real estate investor. Okay, I'm going to give you discounts on insurance, or I'm going to give you, you manage your properties well, I'm going to give you discounts. Like, there's so many ways that you could take Lofty. What's the roadmap? What's the next, I don't know how far advanced you guys think, things change so fast in this space. What's the future look like for Lofty?
Yeah, I mean, you know, our goal is we're always going to iterate and improve the platform for our existing users. So it's kind of funny to say, but it's like Lofty is always the worst version of itself. Like if you join right now today, it's always going to be worse than it is like 10 days later. Like we're always making things better, right? So it's like a very funny thing to actually kind of think about. But we basically look at the existing real estate market. Like our goal wasn't to create this new thing that was so drastically different and create a lot of barriers. People have to be educated in different ways to understand how it works. The idea was literally to take what already exists and just remove the components that you don't like about it, like the annoying aspects of real estate, and then keep all the things that people do like about it, which is the freedom to buy and sell whenever you want to, the freedom to choose your own assets, assets, right? Because it's not a fund where you just give money and other people decide how to allocate it for you. You get to do it yourself and keep all that sort of the pros and then remove all the costs. So that's really long-term vision what Lofty is doing. So we're right now going for feature completion, which means that we kind of build these things iteratively, like one thing at a time. First, you could just buy real estate very easily, but you couldn't really sell easily, right? And then it's like, well, now you have a market where you can sell peer-to-peer, but liquidity wasn't good. So now you have a marketplace where you can sell instantly. So you have really good liquidity, plus all staking and all these things to additionally earn income if you want to. The next missing piece is the loan portion, right? So like people can get mortgages in the traditional market. And that's, again, one of the really beneficial things of real estate is the ability to leverage up so easily. Like no one else, like you, it's very hard for you to go to your stockbroker and be like, I want to buy $1 million worth of Tesla shares, like lend me 80% of that and I'll just put down 20%. You know, that's really difficult. But in real estate, that is essentially the norm. And in many cases with special programs, you can go even lower than that. Like you could put 0% down, you could put 5% down, right? And then on top of that, your mortgage payments are usually tax deductible as well. And so again, like a lot of like these benefits that really compound, that's what really gets you most of your returns in real estate. It's not the raw number of return you're looking at, is what's your take home number post taxes, right? And real estate has one of the best sort of after tax return essentially. And so one of the things we're going to do now is essentially sort of like decentralized synthetic mortgages, if you will, where someone can come and say, right, because if you leverage up the underlying property, it is actually risky because, you know, what if tenant is not paying, but you still have to pay mortgage, and it affects everyone in the DAO, right? Because the underlying property is levered up. Well, we thought, like, what if you could silo away risk so that people don't impact each other with their risk profiles, right? And so you can imagine the property is always bought in cash. But, you know, someone could say, hey, I'm conservative, and so I'll buy $500 worth of tokens in cash, and then that's it. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. But then someone else could come and say, I'm also going to buy $500 worth of tokens, but I'm only going to put up $100. I want to borrow the remaining $400, right? So now this person essentially has a mortgage on their ownership in this specific property, but the mortgage is sort of like on the tokens, not on the underlying house. And so if they were to default and they couldn't pay, right, the whoever was a lender would just claw back that $500 worth of tokens and then now can liquidate it instantly on an open market with a very transparent price. So ahead of time, it makes it easier to underwrite as well. Like how much should I be able to lend? You know, you can look at the volatility and the price to determine that. And then when this person gets liquidated, it doesn't affect any of the other members in the DAO. If other people are leveraged up and they're paying on time, that's fine. And people who paid with their tokens and cash, they're totally fine. You never have to worry about a scenario where like, oh, panic, we have to panic sell the house, right? As a new DAO. And so that's sort of the next big feature. And then at that point, we're basically feature complete. Like think about what you can do in the real estate market. Everything you can do there, you can now do on Lofty, but better. and is it going to be a better experience for you? And that's kind of the state we want to get into.
I love it. I want to take that line, everything you can do in real estate, you can do on Lofty, but better. That perfectly sums up this episode and everything that's possible on Lofty. I want to, couple of points that you brought up during the show. We're going to put a link in the show notes for everybody to the liquidity pools on Lofty. If you want to check those out, if you want to stake your USDC, you don't have to KYC, you can just go stake your USDC. You don't even have to be invested in any properties on Lofty and you can take yield. So you guys can check that out. We'll put that link in. We'll also put the link you mentioned, Jerry, of your current promotion for anybody that refers the seller of a house. They can get a referral fee. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Jerry, anything else you want to draw our listeners' attention to or you think they should check out?
Yeah, I mean, before you do anything, we have a very powerful and concise learn center. So you can go through how taxes work, how to the, you know, what does it mean when I own properties? What is a DAO LLC? How does staking work? You know, like literally everything under the sun. If you want to spend like enough time on it, you can really get to know the platform. So I would, you know, heavily recommend everyone kind of check that out, at least, you know, just for the component. If you're just interested in staking, at least read that component before you get started. Think of it as, a tutorial that both tells you how to do it and then also explains to you like how it actually works, so you have a better understanding. And yeah, everyone can, Lofty is accessible to everyone, but as far as staking is concerned, we don't KYC if you don't want a Lofty account for USDC staking, but only if you're from non-sanctioned countries. So unfortunately, if you're from a country that's been sanctioned by the United States, we're a US-based company, so we can't service you. And, you know, again, we're based here in the country. We have every intention to grow and stay within this country, so we take the regulations very seriously. So that's the only thing to note as well.
Okay, great. Okay, before we wrap, speed round, a couple of fun questions for you, Jerry. Sure. What is a must-read book that you find yourself telling people about?
That's a good question. I think it's that book about the PayPal story, founding story. Mm-hmm. That's called The Founders. I highly, highly recommend that book to everyone. Even if you're not into startups, even if you're not running a business, I think it's just such a crazy, interesting journey how that company was created and ended up where it was. And then subsequently what happened to the early, not just founders, but like early employees, like low-level employees. Like there's a term called the PayPal Mafia, which is, statistically speaking, it was very odd, but like a very high percentage of people that worked at PayPal in the early days ended up becoming incredibly successful in their own, like they left the company after it was sold to do their own companies and things like that. But I don't think people realize how crazy running a company and just having it like grow and like really is. And I don't know, their story, I wouldn't say it's exaggerated. I would just say it's probably on the more extreme side and probably not the norm of every business. But I think if people just read it, it's just such an interesting read and will just open your mind to what is possible when you run and try to create a new business in a space that's heavily regulated with, you know, new technology and new use case that didn't really exist before. Yeah, I think it's just so fascinating. And it's, some of the stories are actually insane. Like, you won't believe it until you read it yourself.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great book, great recommendation. And it'll help you understand what Elon Musk is doing with X and Twitter, in my mind. It really
absolutely
framed Elon for me in terms of his, what he wanted to do with PayPal before he was booted out. And I think where his intentions are for X and Twitter as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it helps frame the difficulty of doing a fast-paced startup, you know, in a regulated space. And so for me, a lot of times when I run into, you know, issues and problems that inevitably arises, I was now having context of what happened at PayPal. Like, such a big deal. Otherwise, you start to get really negative and think like you're just unlucky and the world is against you and like only bad things happen to you and not to other people. But once you start reading a couple of these books, you're just like, oh yeah, this happens to everyone. And like, you are way, way more unlucky than I am. Like, I don't have the worst of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the sin of the mind. It only thinks selfishly about you and your life, and it does not have that ability to put it in context of, hey, you're not the only one. There's 8 billion people in the world, and everybody's having their challenges. Good reminder. Okay, one more question before we wrap here, Jerry. I think we would have asked you this a year ago when you were on the show. I'm sure you don't remember your answer to the question, so we'll have to go back and see if you answer it the same way. If you had a billboard that 1 billion people were going to see, what would you write on it?
Okay, so my mentality for this, you did ask me this question, but my mentality for this has shifted quite a bit. So we talked about this earlier at the beginning. It's like, I'm a new dad now. So I have a 3-month-old son. And before, at least I think people in my generation as a sort of tail end millennial, you need to start reading about this in the market media as well. But like a lot of people are scared to have kids. When you look at it, there's all these logical reasons of like, oh, well, it's really expensive. You know, I want to, you know, make sure my finances are in the right place. Like now is not a good. There's just like all of these reasons. And even amongst my friend group, I'm the only one with a child right now. But I promise you, I don't know if it's like biological, something that gets activated. But honestly, it's hard. It requires work, but it's not so hard. There's some level of like intuition when you become a parent of like, you know, before we were stressing out, like, oh, you have to take classes to how to do this and read books on that and like all of these things. And you know what? Turns out I didn't need to do any of that stuff. Like, I just knew naturally how to hold my baby in a safe way that they look like they're comfortable and they're secure. And it just happens. And so now I talk to a lot of my friends. I'm like, man, like, what are you waiting for? Like, and the truth is, I got advice that there's never a right time. Like, when you're thinking about the perfect time to have kids, turns out there's never actually a right time. So you just end up never having kids. And a lot of people don't realize when you get older, biologically, it just becomes a lot harder to do. Like, I have friends and neighbors and folks that they spend a ton of money later trying to have kids. And it's just, and like, emotionally draining for them. And it's just like, yeah, like, honestly, it's not actually such a good idea to wait. Mm-hmm. So now I tell all my friends, I'm like, look, as long as you're not about to become homeless or anything like that, and you have a zero support network in your life, like, yeah, you're at the right age where you should probably become parents. That's my long-winded thing I would put on the billboard. So, like, there's never a right time, and you know, you should have kids if you want kids.
I was going to say, is the billboard say make babies or something like that?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't want to force everyone into it, but there's a lot of people that like want to do it, but then they come up with all these reasons and excuses of why it's not a good idea. And I think the consensus is actually, in very extreme rare scenarios, it's pretty much a good idea. You shouldn't delay it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to agree with that one. Also, being a new dad, and we both were chatting about this before we recorded today, it's the best. I don't know how else. Like, if you ask me how it's going, I'm going to tell you about the challenges, because I'm just a honest person and I don't like, you know, just saying everything's good. I like being straight up about where I'm at. And there's a lot of challenges to a baby, for sure, especially in the early years, because it's such an adjustment and such a change. But it gives you an energy. Every time I come home from work, and I mean, I work in my backyard, so it's funny to say I come home from work, but I walk in and I see my son and I feel $1 million. It's the only thing I can liken to is if you have a dog and you see your dog, and every time you see your dog, his tail's wagging like crazy. Yeah. He's so excited to see you. Like, imagine that times 1,000. That's what it's like every time you see your kid. It's the best.
Absolutely. Like, even when I'm having the worst day, if I just like sometimes walk by and like I see my son and he just like looks at me and smiles, I'm like, okay, I'm not so like, I'm not sad anymore.
Okay. So buy houses on chain and make babies. That's the title for today's episode.
That is the advice and only gift I can provide.
Jerry, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for the time. Shout out to you and the whole team for what you guys are building at Lofty. Really excited to follow along. Hope our listeners will take advantage of the opportunity to get involved in real estate if they're not already. Lofty is a great place to do it. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you for having me back again. And again, it's wonderful to be here again. So appreciate the opportunity. I'll pass on the well wishes to our team. They desperately need it after basically a year-long sprint. But now they're finally having, you know, a more relaxing time.
That's good. That's good. Thanks so much for listening in, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and subscribe or follow so that you don't miss the next one. While you're at it, there's a link in the description for our free newsletter where we provide timely and relevant Web3 insights so you can confidently build and invest in Web3. Make sure to subscribe today. One final note. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and nothing we say is financial advice. Crypto and Web3 are risky, and you should never invest more than you're willing to lose. Thank you, friends, and see you in the next one.